from the New King James Version Bible mostly today. I think I have one NIV version part that I'll mention to you in advance. But if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Luke 19, the triumphal entry is actually recorded three times in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's not in John as we're going to be reading it, but in the three Gospels. And it's similar in different ways, but also a little bit different. And it's this particular account in Luke that I'd like to read to you today. So beginning again, Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 29. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he, Jesus, sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, and where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosening it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosening the colt, the owners of it said to them, 'Why are you loosening the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.' And they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and said to them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.' Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close in on you on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave you in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation.' Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, 'It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.' And he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him." Verse 48, "and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him." As we look at this account, we see a lot of different things happening. First of all, Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. Now, if we read some previous chapters, Jesus and the disciples already knew that the Pharisees and Sadducees were plotting against him to kill him. And so here Jesus, knowing that he was going to give his life, still went to Jerusalem. You know, I have to give Jesus credit for that he's willing to do what needs to be done regardless of his own safety. Because he made statements like this through his life: "I do what my Father tells me to do. I do nothing apart from my Father's will." That's the heart of God for you and I as well. Not only the Son to the Father, but God's heart towards us. That he will move heaven and earth to help us in our lives. That's just God's nature, and that's just the way he is. So here he is. He gets on a donkey, and a special donkey. It's reserved for him in a sense. One that has never been ridden by anyone. Now, I used to live on a farm, and we had a horse. And the thing is, when we first started to train that horse, you can't just jump on a horse that's not been trained. You know, you have to be a professional at it. And believe me, we weren't. And I got tossed off more than once before we finally were able to tame that horse. Now, a donkey's not much different. You know, there's training involved. But can you imagine this? Here, Jesus gets on it. Donkey doesn't even move. Just does exactly what it's supposed to do. You know, that was a miracle in itself. And so as they go, they come down to the Mount of Olives and begin to go down the hill to Jerusalem. And the Bible says that the crowds were there, and they're freaking out in an awesome way, worshiping, praising God. But it's interesting what they're saying. You know, they say this, and this is really important. If you look back at verse 38, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Interesting, it doesn't say peace on earth. It says peace in heaven. Here's the thing, the word peace, and in the Old Testament, it's shalom. That's the word we know. It's pretty common. In the New Testament, it's a different word, but it means the same. It's arane. And it literally means to have quietness, to be at peace with those around you, and to be at one. It's interesting how it's worded that way, to be at one or to be joined together. You see, true peace for you and I is to be connected with the Lord. And so here it says, peace in heaven. And I believe that this scripture is actually referring to Jesus the Son being at peace with God the Father, being at one with Him. In other words, He was at one in purpose. He was at total peace with what God had called Him to do in riding that donkey to His death, literally going to happen less than a week ahead of that. And so here they go, they ride down, and all the people are praising the Lord for what Jesus had done, for the signs that they had seen. And all, there's always some pity party people in here. There's always some people who got bad attitudes. And that was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And what do they say? Hey, you know, tell your disciples to be quiet. You know, they shouldn't be speaking. And Jesus says, if they would be silent, the rocks would cry out. Now think about this. That here's what Jesus is saying. That literally creation is smarter than some of the created people on the earth. Isn't that sad to say that that's still the same today? That there are individuals out there that deny that there's even a God, that deny that Jesus went to the cross, that deny that Jesus existed and gave His life for us. And yet Jesus is saying, look, even the dumb rocks are smart enough to know that that's true, that I've come, that I've given my life, that I'm going to give my life in this case. And so we need to really, we need to align ourselves with creation. If creation claps its hands, the Bible says in the Old Testament, if creation cries out that there's a creator, how much more should God's created, you and I, proclaim that Jesus is King? And we really need to do this on a regular basis. I understand we're in a difficult time, and some of you might be saying, hey, why is that guy smiling? Why does that guy look so happy? Let me tell you why. I am not ignorant of what's going on. I have friends, I have people that I know that are sick right now. No one has passed away in my circle of people I know, but it could happen. And the thing is, the joy of the Lord is my strength. In other words, I'm aware of what's going on, but I choose to walk in joy. In fact, in the book of James, just in the opening verses in chapter 1, it says, count it all joy when you face various trials and temptations, when you face these things, knowing that it helps you develop patience in your life. And patience will make you complete in the Lord. So let's be joyful this morning. I understand there's a lot of things to be worried about, but whether you worry about it at this moment or not, it's not going to change anything. So let's focus on the Lord and allow the joy of the Lord to be our strength right now. And so let's focus on what Jesus is doing here. He's riding into Jerusalem, and He gets there. And so there's some things that happen as He gets there. He weeps over the city, and he talks about the fact that there's some bad things that's going to happen. Jesus knows the future. And He's saying, look at, you know, the stones, every stone, can you imagine, every stone in all of Jerusalem will be torn away from one another. He's basically saying that all the structures, all the buildings are going to be torn down. And that actually happened. If we have Jesus around this time, maybe about, you know, right around AD 30 in there somewhere, we know in AD 70, you know, just years later, we have the fact that the Romans invade. Now, they're there already. But they invade and totally destroy Jerusalem. And Jesus knew that that was going to happen. And He says, man, if they had only known the day of my visitation, if they'd only known. And so I believe that speaks to you and I today. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes again. But I want you to go on and see what happens in verse 45. He goes into the temple. And what does He do? Totally just wreaks havoc there. He drives out all the money changers and all the people there that are doing things that they ought not to be doing in the temple. And Jesus says this. He says this ought to be a place of prayer. This ought to be a place of sanctification. A place of seeking the face of God. And they're turning it into a place of laundering money, of money changing, and doing things like that, you know, of business, rather than of a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we finally get to the point where in the later part, where all the people, says this at the very end, are attentive to what Jesus was saying. So here's what I've just talked about. I've talked about a real event that really happened over 2,000 years ago. Here's the thing. As relevant as it was then, I believe that this portion of Scripture is relevant to you and I today. So I want to look at it from a whole different light, from a spiritual perspective, because just as Jesus was triumphantly riding into Jerusalem, I believe that Jesus wants to ride into our lives as well. And that's really what I want to talk to you about this morning. And this word is from the Lord. You know, just through the week, he's been speaking to me about this and the importance of this. And so I want to share that with you right now. And so we need to look back at a couple of scriptures. Now, as we look back at the beginning, we see the whole donkey part, right? And we see, you know, and I don't know about you, but how can this be spiritual? You know, we got a donkey and Jesus rides on the donkey. Well, here's the thing, just to give you a little bit of background. Back in the Old Testament, when Israel became a nation, they didn't have any kings at the beginning. They had what were known as judges. And these judges would go from town to town to judge the people. And when I say judge, sometimes when we think judge, it means to condemn. That wasn't it at all. But the word judge in the Old Testament means, and the New as well, means to render a right decision. So in other words, if two people or two groups of people had a problem with one another, the judge would come into town, he would hear both sides of it, and he would render a decision on it. And so what he would do, here's the cool part. These judges rode on donkeys when they would go. That's what they used. They didn't use horses. Horses were used for war, but donkeys were used by the people of Israel and especially by the judges to go and judge the nation in the different towns. And so the picture that we have, if we look at Jesus riding into Jerusalem, he came what? As the Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace, not war. He came to bring peace. And so we have this Old Testament picture of these judges come. And I think about Jesus, it says this in John 3:17, that Jesus didn't come to condemn us, but rather through him that we might be saved. So he didn't come to judge us, to condemn us. He came to come and render a right decision to say, look, you need my help. You know, so when you're in sin, when you're doing things wrong, listen, Jesus isn't there to beat you up or condemn you. You're probably doing a pretty good job yourself because you know you're in sin. You know you're doing wrong. Jesus has come to say, look, let me help you. He's come as a peacemaker. He's come riding on a donkey to say, I've got something for you. I want to help you. That's the heart of Jesus today. And so as he rides into your life, he wants to be your peace. Right here, right now, in the midst of the turmoil. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, it was an occupied land at the time. There was no peace. And yet, in the midst of it, Jesus was at peace with his Father. You and I, in the midst of what's going on, can be at peace with our Father in heaven as well. That's God's heart. And so as we go on with this story, again, this is so amazing, the spiritual aspects for you and I. I want you to jump down to verse 45. The very first thing he does when he gets to Jerusalem, what does he do? In fact, let's read verse 45 and 46 again. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So the very first thing he does is go to the temple and clean it all up. What does that mean to you and I? Well, if we look to the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says this, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And so here's the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, where the Apostle Paul is saying, look at, spiritually speaking, every believer is a temple, is a house that holds the Holy Spirit on the inside. And so let's look at this cleansing of the temple from a spiritual concept. So here's Jesus. He rides in. He wants to bring peace into your life and into mine. And so the first thing he does is comes and lives on the inside. And if you've never asked Jesus to come and live in your heart, it's very simple to do. Just say, Jesus, I need you to come and do some house cleaning for me. I need you to come into my life and I need you to change me and make me what you want me to be. I want to follow you. And the Bible promises he will come into your heart and live there and you can become born again. But here's the thing. This cleansing can happen even for us as believers. I believe it's an ongoing thing to be cleansed in the Lord. Even though Jesus is on the inside, I don't know about you, and I shouldn't say this of you, but my life's not perfect. I've got a lot of things that I need to change still. And God wants to continually be cleaning. As I submit to Him and give things to Him, He helps me to clean those areas and takes the dirt away, so to speak. And so here we have, He goes into the temple, He cleanses it. Here's the thing. This is what Jesus wants to do in your life and in mine. He wants to cleanse us. The thoughts and the things that are going on in our lives that are inappropriate or not healthy. And maybe even things that aren't necessarily bad in themselves, but are robbing us of the time that we should be spending with the Lord. You know, in Ezekiel, the Old Testament book, in Ezekiel chapter 8, there's a vision that God gives Ezekiel the prophet. And He shows the temple back in that day. And he shows how Ezekiel, he has Ezekiel go inside the temple. And as he looks, he sees all these animals on the wall and all these different things that are on the wall, all these idols on the wall inside the temple. And there's people worshiping inside the temple all these other gods, all these other created things. And I believe that speaks of us today, that for us, we still worship idols today. Now, it might not be a fish or a cow or something like that, but let me tell you something. For many of us, sports could be an idol that we have. You know, for some of us, entertainment could be an idol in our lives. So there's a lot of different things that can be idols in our lives that we are still worshiping today. In fact, I want to give thanks at this point. You're going to think I'm crazy, but that's okay. I am a little bit crazy maybe, but I believe that this is from the Lord, that God has allowed our shelter in place to happen. And you might say, well, whoa, no, did God do this? No, God did not do this. I want to make this very clear. And we talked about this last week. This is not God doing this. But the Bible says in Romans 8:28 that God will take that which was meant for evil and turn it for good. So let me talk to you about some of the good that God's bringing out of this. By us being put into shelter in place, here's what's happened. Sports events are not happening right now. After school events are not happening right now. All the different things that we are running here and there to do on a regular basis, all of us, including me, have been shut down. And all of a sudden now we're in this shelter in place situation. In a sense, we've been boxed in. Could it be that God might be using this to get Christians' attention? To say, look, let's do some house cleaning right now. Let's do some changes in our lives. I was walking the other day. What I like to do is walk with the Lord. That's my way of connecting with God. And so I was on this walk, I think it was on Wednesday, and I'm walking along, and I said, Lord, I just want you to talk to me about this corona thing, and just give me some direction and how to pray and how to do that. And all I heard was silence. And I'm like, Lord, you're not going to talk to me about that at all, are you? And he whispered into my heart, no, son, I'm not. And I looked up and I said, Lord, I know exactly what you want to talk to me about. And the Lord spoke back and said, what do you think? I said, you want to talk about my heart, don't you? And the Lord said, yeah, let's do some heart talk. You see, God's aware of everything going on the outside. But He wants to work on the inside. He wants to work on the temple of our hearts on a regular basis. You see, when that's right, then our perspective on everything else is right. But if we're messed up on the inside, if our perspective is not quite right, if our focus is out, then we can't have a right understanding of what's going on around us. It's always been about the heart. When you look at Jesus with His disciples as He walked with them, He talked about some of the issues of the day, but primarily He was focusing upon the attitude of their hearts and how to grow in their relationship with Him. And that's what God wants to do today through this event. This is not, listen, you can fight it, you can gripe, you can complain, you can get angry like some people are, you know, or you can choose to have joy in the Lord and walk through this event. Either way, it's going to happen the way it's going to happen, but your attitude will change where you are in the whole thing. And so I encourage you, let's have an attitude of joy in this. And so as we go on, here's the amazing thing. So we have the temple cleansing, which represents for you and I God wanting to clean things up in our lives, to maybe pull down some of those idols that are there in our lives. Listen, I pray. Now, you might think, again, I'm a little bit crazy. I pray things don't go back to normal. I absolutely pray that. I do not want the same life I had before this event happened. I want a better life. I want a closer walk with Jesus. I want a better understanding of His will and His ways. I want a new normal, which includes more of Jesus. And that's my prayer for you as well. And my prayer for the church here as well. And for everyone for that matter, that's my prayer. To have a new normal that actually lines up closer and closer with the heart and the will and the ways of the Lord. Amen? Now here's the neat part. As we go on, let's read verses 47 and 48. After he cleans up, he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him. And they were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. A couple things I want to point out. As you and I allow God to cleanse us, and we begin to walk closer to him, there are going to be people who are going to oppose. That's just the way it is. Just as there were there in the Bible back thousands of years ago, those same kinds of people are in your life and in mine who will oppose us wanting to walk closer to the Lord. And you've just got to get over it and realize that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to try to do. But it's for me and my house, as Joshua said, I will serve the Lord. And that's what we need to do as believers, is to just keep focused upon him. But what I want to focus on is the last part of 48. It says, and the people were very attentive to hear him. That word hear doesn't mean just to hear with your ears. It actually means to perceive or understand with your heart. In other words, you're able to, you get it. In other words, you got it. And you're like, man, I get this. Now I can walk this out. You see, there's an order that has to happen as you look at these three things. First of all, God comes in with peace. He says, look, I'm the answer for you. I am everything that you need. I am the answer. I am your peacemaker. And as we allow him to be that peace in our lives, then what happens is he can begin to clean up our thoughts and our attitudes and who we are on the inside, the temple of our heart. And then out of that, here's the awesome part. As we let him reconfigure things on the inside to line up with his heart, with his will and his ways, then we can begin to soak in what he has for us. You see, we can't take in if we don't give out. And so the junk that's in our way has to be moved out of the way so that we can receive what God has for us. And that's just so, so important. So I want to leave you with this. This is kind of the final point that I want to make with you this morning. And I want you to go back, and we're going to look at verses 41 to 44 as we conclude this morning. So Luke 19, 41 to 44. Now as Jesus drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone turned upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. See, I don't know about you, but this speaks right now of the shelter in place. This speaks of an embankment that's been built around us. And here's what Jesus is saying. He's weeping over it. In other words, Jesus is weeping over those who have passed away. Jesus is weeping for those that are sick and ill right now. I need you to realize he is concerned about this as much as you and I, if not more. He loves every single person on the face of the earth. But here's what Jesus is saying to you and I. At the very last point, he says this at the end of 44, because you did not know the time of your visitation. You see, the enemy is surrounding us. In a sense, his sickness is surrounding us. The events are surrounding us. We're in shelter in place. And yet Jesus, in the midst of it, is saying, look, if you had known the time of my visitation, it doesn't have to be this way. And that's really what I want to talk to you about just for a minute right now, in that the whole world is saying, oh, whoa, whoa, what are we going to do? We don't have to be like the rest of the world. We can go, whoa, Jesus is here for us. And we can rise up and realize that he has a visitation that he wants to do in our lives. In fact, he says this, the time of our visitation. That word time, there's two words for time in the Bible. One is chronos, and that speaks of watch. In other words, our chronological time, okay? And it's chronos. The other is kairos. And what that means, that kairos means a divine moment or a divine encounter with God. It's a supernatural time. And that's what Jesus was talking about here. He didn't say, if they don't only known the Chronos time. He didn't say that. If they had only known the Kairos time, that divine moment that I've got. So here's the thing. Here we are boxed in, hindered in a sense from doing the things we normally would do. And here's what Jesus is saying. He wants to have Kairos moments. He wants to have divine encounters with you and I so that he can bring peace into our lives, so that he can arrange our temple on the inside and make some adjustments there so that we can walk in more godly ways and be greater examples to those around us. That's the heart of God right now at this moment in time. In fact, it's always been that way, but especially now. Listen, if you and I, in our immaturity, aren't willing to let go of some things, maybe God's allowed this to happen so that we have to let go of some things. And so let's have some divine moments with our Lord. Father, right now, I thank you that you want to have encounters with us. And our heart's cry is to have encounters with you right now, right where we are in the apartments, in the houses, wherever we are right now. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would touch individuals right now, your presence right now, just upon them. Lord God, bringing peace where there's troubling in their hearts. Lord, bringing healing where there's sickness, Lord God. Bringing hope where there's hopelessness. Just encouraging and uplifting every believer, Lord God. And if there be an unbeliever listening, if there are unbelievers listening, Lord, let them know that you want to come into their lives and they just have to ask you. And you're more than willing not to condemn, not to judge, but to bring peace and hope and healing and restoration. That's just your very nature and your very heart. So, Lord, just bless everyone this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before I close, I just want to put this out to everyone. Last week, I asked everyone to take just 2 minutes a day and to pray for someone. You know, someone outside of your normal prayer people that you pray for, like your family or close friends, but just to pray for someone else. And I asked you to do that through the week last week. I'm going to ask you to step it up another level. For some of those people that you prayed for, as you now lift them up in prayer this week, I'd like you to call them or email them or text them. I'd like you to connect with them and just say, hey, I was praying for you. Is everything okay? Is there anything I can do for you? And so I encourage you this week to take that extra step of faith and do that. Amen. I look forward to seeing you on Good Friday and on Sunday. Again, follow our, you know, they'll put it up on the screen, our ways of connection. You can connect all those different ways that you're seeing right there. And again, we'll have the matzah, how to make matzah bread video coming up Tuesday or Wednesday on our YouTube channel. And also, we have emails we send out. If you're not getting our emails and you'd like to just hear what's going on of upcoming events and different things, please just email us to the church at reachoutchurch.com or reachoutchurch.com. That's our email. Or you can do it through reachoutchurch.com and click email us. Either way, email us with your email and we will just let you know what's going on. Usually only about once or twice a week. We won't give your email to anyone else. Anyways, God bless you. I pray that you have joy in your heart today because the joy of the Lord is yours and my strength. Amen. God bless you.